1708
with your permission. On this one, no. On the Tanakh, 1708.
The Tanakh, 1708.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Five
page?
Five page, yeah. It's chapter 2, Megillat Ruth. The Zohar says that really her name was not Ruth. This is what, when he... When she, or when he converted, or did not convert, that's the question. The machlok and Amor v'chachamim, was it conversion, was no conversion?
That's she converted by herself, which,
yeah, she didn't convert by herself, yeah.
With Naomi.
You can't convert by herself with Naomi. We're talking about when she got married. If she did convert before she got married to Mr. Machlon. That's also a big machlok, that's the question. Between the Zohar and the Targum, between the Rishonim. So the Zohar says that, her real name was Gilit.
Gilit?
Gilit. It also sounds too Jewish, I don't know how it's me. But this is Zohar says. The truth was given to her when she got married to Mr. Machlon. Machlon decided to give her the name Ruth. Why decided to give her Ruth? I don't know. But this is the Zohar says. Yeah. It's a new name, it's a Jewish name. The people are wondering, Ruth is a Jewish name or not a Jewish name. So Zohar said, Ruth is a Jewish name, was given by her husband, and her husband married her. Either he converted her or he did not convert her. But she got a new name, Ruth. So you have permission in Megillat Ruth chapter 2.
Does the name Ruth ever appear before?
No. No. So and not after either.
They said maybe he wanted to have a Jewish sounding name.
Right. That's Ruth. I mean, again, the question is why Ruth? Right. How did you pick it up? What did he have in mind when he called her Ruth? Usually all the names in the Torah and the Tarach that people gave, they had some meaning in it. Over here, the Gemara says that Ruth meaning real explanation, the Gemara says that Ruth is because David HaMelech came from Ruth, and Ruth comes from, this pronunciation, you say Rivat. Rivat comes, David HaMelech, thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elat. David HaMelech comes from Ruth, because Ruth also, you spell Reish Vav Taf, and Reish Vav Taf, it is something like when you drink a lot and you're not thirsty anymore, it's called a Rabet, Simonoi Hebrew. So it means Ruth, it means David HaMelech is going to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, and so many songs, comes from that Ruth. But that's what, I don't know if he had in mind, Mr. Machlon had in mind, to call his wife Ruth because David HaMelech is in the country. I don't think he knew it. So I don't have the other explanation, but again, if according to the Zohar that Machlon gave it to her, it needs to be explained. Ul-Nomi, since it's chapter 2, we give permission to Megillat Ruth. Ul-Nomi, Moda Le'isha. איש גיבור חי למשפחת אלימלך ושמו בועז. So the Gemara says that אלימלך and Naomi's father and Boaz's father were brothers. They were the children of Nachshon ben Aminadav. And אלימלך married his niece, Naomi. And now the Megillah tells us that Naomi has a cousin. His name is Boaz. That's not only Mishpachat Elimelech, it's her family as well, but the Megillah says that Naomi has a family relative, very strong personality. His name is Boaz. Motome Ruta Mordian Naomi Elchana Asade Ve'alaktaba Shibulim Achar Hashem Tachem Benav. Let me go to the field. Hope to find favorite in someone's eyes that he's going to let me pick up some stalks of wheat or some wheat in order to support ourselves. Batamelah lechibiti. Go, my daughter. Again, we do remember last week that the very poor that came back from Moab, by the way, Moab is in Jordan, maybe part of Iraq a little bit, and they came back, they walked all the way from Jordan, from Iraq, back to Bethlehem, to the past in Israel, and when they arrived, everybody saw them, and everybody saw Naomi, so all say, Naomi, wow, look at you, look the way you look, and you used to be the Madame number one, and look what happened to you. And Naomi said, don't forget about what happened to me, call me bitter, I'm very bitter, just forget about it. Hashem punished me, it was the end of my career, I used to be very rich, the Gemara says she used to go outside with a special chariot, and everybody looked at her, she was very, very high society, what you call it in America. And now she came back and she's very poor. And then Megillah says, they're all looking at her. And Megillah says also when they came, it happened to be that Boaz's wife died. There's no information who she was, but was a funeral. So they just arrived at the funeral. So they came to the funeral, so the whole city is outside, they're all looking at her, and they say, oh wow, look at Naomi, we don't believe her, she looks so bad. What happened to you? What happened to you? She tells them. And no one pays attention. She has uncles, she has cousins, nothing. She goes by herself with her daughter-in-law. I don't know where they rented the room. There's no information. But they have no food. Then she was the first lady. Her husband was the richest guy in Israel at the time. And she has cousins, uncles, nobody invites her. And she's never left by herself. Now she has no food, so now this ex-daughter-in-law, she's going to look for food. Hopefully, she says, I'll find some food for you. As it's possible, nobody invites her, nobody talks to her.
Maybe she was ashamed and didn't...
I don't know, ashamed, but somebody should... Yeah. The whole city saw her, the whole city. Now the famine is over. The famine is over. Now this is, she came back, she heard the famine is over. Now everything is okay. Now this guy, Boaz, is very rich. Very, very rich.
So let's go out here.
I'm sorry. I'll read the Mincha before you leave. It's amazing that Boaz himself, this guy is very, very rich, and it's her first cousin. That she came back, and then his wife died, and nobody invites her, don't talk about her. Nobody asks her, can you come please inside? She's looking for food. Tell her to go to your cousin. Tell her to go to your uncle. Tell her to go to the family, your relatives. I'm sure she had a lot of friends. The whole city was standing on her. He was the most known person in Israel at the time, her husband Elimelech. She can't find one friend. I mean, she has to go now and look for meat. Very strange. ותלך ותבוא תנתן שבי בדיוק ממישן ותלך ותבוא ותלכת בשדה אחרי הקוצרים. Poor Ruth, 40, the Gemara says 40 years old girl. She has to go out to the field and stand behind the people, the workers in the field. עיקר מקרה חזקת השדה לבוא עד השם שפחת למלך. Happened to me that she fell into the field that belongs to Boaz, that this is Elimelech's nephew and this is Naomi's cousin. She happened to be there. Bine Boaz Vamet Lechem. Boaz arrived. Ayemel HaKotrim Hashem Imachem. He blessed the people, the workers. Hashem should be with you. Ayemel HaKotrim Hashem. God bless you. אם הוא בא זה נערון את אב הכותרים, בוא זה אסק one of his supervisors. למי הנערה? זה לא treat his girl? The Gemara says, you see the girl behaves a little bit strange. Not all the other girls that they're in the field, she's very, very pure, very humble. ויאנו נער, ניסו הכותרים, הוא אמר, נערה מוביעי, נערה מוביעי. This is the girl that comes from Moab, השבה. השבה עם נעמי מזה מואב. She came back with נעמי. Your cousin, right? So she came back, that's the girl. But tell me, that's what she said. I don't know how he knows, but that's this supervisor says. She said, she's talking to herself, she says, Alakana Vasati Bahamarim, let me go and collect some things in the pile, the Kharia Kotrim after the workers over there in the field, but Zabokabadata, she came already early in the morning, and until now this Shifta Bait Mia she was able to collect only very little. She's not capable, or she's not losing job. She can't have it in fact. Even boss the wood, boss goes to wood, and Roshamad BT, his daughter, that's not his daughter. Or maybe that's what they call it in Greece. That's what they call to everybody, my daughter. I think in Greece it's called Isha. My husband calls his wife like this. I think Isha is my daughter in Greek. I don't know, he calls her my daughter. It's not your daughter. You don't even know her. Maybe that's what he used to call. Maybe. Alo shamad biti adrechil kol besadeh achir. Gavo tabur mitzvah. Please don't go any other place. Stay over here. Gavo tibakil narotai. Also stay with my girls. And I was today asher torun tzvah. Watch in the field what they do. Vanaf tacharen. And you go behind those workers. And the reason is, the Gemara says, this is when you can get what's called leket. It's called shichacha. This is one of the mitzvot that Hashem gave us. It's called matnot aniyim, leave to the poor some wheat or whatever you do in the field. So when they cut, when they harvest, if two wheat fall down, then you have to leave it on the floor for the poor. If three, you may pick it up. So Boaz advised her, I tell her, listen, it, maybe you don't know how it works here, but since we are Jewish, this is the law in the Torah. It's called leket. It says you go just behind the people that just cutting, harvesting the wheat, and you stay behind them. And when two wheat fall down, then you can pick it up. It's going to be for you. It tells them. So I asked, if you saw my sister, why don't you go give her 2 pounds of flour? I said, lady, go home. I said, give her a coupon, you know, to go to the store. I said, write your name, Boaz, a rich man. You don't give her a credit card, don't give her a credit card. Give her something, go to the store, get 2 pounds of wheat, and that's the end of it. I don't know how Nomi has pots, how she's going to do it, I don't know. How she's going to grind it, I don't know. There's no information. But in the meantime, you know, he advised her, if you want, that's what you do. You go behind those workers and get those things that fall on the floor. I also ordered all the boys, the Vettino guests, nobody should bother you. But by the way, with Tamit, if you're thirsty, go over to the back, the vessels over there, the Shatit, you can drink some water. They go to draw some water from the well, so they can have some water in the back. If you're thirsty, go in the back.
Rabbi? Huh? What's the difference between 2 and 3 weeks?
Like, I don't know, we don't know why. Hashem says halacha in the Torah, we don't know. The Gemara, shtai, echad, leket, shtai, leket, shalosh, no leket. Hashem said, if two fall down while he's cutting, then it's for the poor people. And if three falls down, he may pick it up. Hashem said it, we don't know. There's no explanation. No, you could if you want, right? But the problem is, if you give it to them, they have to do ma'aser from it. Otherwise, it's called hefker. Leket shechacha pe'ah tasum ma'aser. It means in Eretz Yisrael, whatever grows, you have to give part to the Kohen, part to the Levi. And if a poor person finds it, and it belongs to him, it doesn't have to give anything to the Kohen and the Levi. But if somebody gives him as a present, then he has to take part of the present and give it to the Kohen and the Levi. So if the owner of the field wants to give him the 3, he's more than welcome to give him. He can give him 4, 5, 6, doesn't matter, he can give him the whole thing. But then the poor person also would have to, the obligation to give part of the Kohen for Maser, Rishon to Levi, Trumah to the Kohen, and to be Maser Ani maybe, and to another, maybe it's obligated to give to another poor person, maybe not. And that's the halacha. So that was what tells her, you know, you go and go behind them, and if you thirsty, go drink over there. Say, well, it's so nice, sir. Why don't you bring her something to drink already? Tell somebody, get the girl to drink. She falls on the floor, and she falls down to him. Look, you're so nice to me, so nice to her. What's so nice to her? It's embarrassing. That's how he nice to her. And he said, go behind those workers, pick up from the floor. That's nice. Well, what else? What's the option? Shall I get out of my property? This is against the Torah. The Gemara says, it's the Mishnah, the Gemara, it's always the poor people, not in a time of famine, all the time. Now it's no famine anymore. But all the time, the poor people, the Gemara says in Mishot, they used to walk in the fields. You learn about Mitzvah, you learn El Mitzvot, you learn Gemara. The Gemara says the Mishnah, it's a Mishnayot, it's always the people used to walk. You're not allowed to chase them out of the field. I mean, this is what Hashem told them. The Gemara says, Chas Shalom, the Mishnah says, Chas Shalom, a person chased the poor people from his field, Chas Shalom, something will happen to him. So she's on the floor, she says, thank you very much that I found favor in your eyes. Like, yeah, I'm a stranger here, and you're very nice to me. What is so nice to you that he lets you drink some water? Not even Coca-Cola, just plain water from the back, and she's allowed to go behind those workers. It's a whole question if she'll find anything. Not necessarily if you find anything. When you walk behind the workers, the only question is, does it drop something? If they won't drop anything, she won't find anything. So she might end up at the end of the day with nothing. Maybe water she'll get, but not any wheat.
But the water, so it's
only effective. Well, so that's because what's the good?
We look at Rishon, right?
That's something else.
We bought the water.
Yeah, it's a stranger, and then he's a sign, and the man said he's thirsty. I mean, he said he's so nice to her. I said, if you're thirsty, if you think she's thirsty, it's thirsty, so why don't you take care of her? Yom Boaz v'yom elah, who gave, who got me. Says, not now, now he's confessing now. I says, no, I know who you are, I know. You know who she is. You know who she is, I was going to give a whole lecture about her.
Peter Wright.
What's all this? A cousin. The richest one, you know. Unbelievable. And he gives her a lecture. It's like a eulogy, like Hesped. I'm a good person. I heard about you. You're so nice to your mother, ex-mother-in-law. It's very nice. You didn't demand anything from her. Not only that, but a bit of you missed, you left your town, you left your parents, you left your family, but she wasn't a Jew, and you preferred, you chose to go with your ex-mother-in-law to a nation, a relative, the Gemara says she was the daughter or granddaughter, Machloket, of the king of Moab, and says she came from a very rich family, she had a choice to go back to her father's house, to her grandfather's house, was the king of Moab. I says, instead, now she's the poorest lady. I says, the boss tells her that. I know about you. I heard about you. You left your family. I says, so the whole lecture. Why don't you give her a sandwich? Somebody, I think the most cool thing in the world. Most cool thing in the world. Huh? Unbelievable. I mean, it's really embarrassing to write such a thing. David HaMelech is going to come from that. She is going to be the grandmother of David HaMelech, and he is the father. That's amazing. How do you expect David HaMelech to be a nice person if the grandparents are living? Look at the genes of Boaz and Ruth. Disgusting. What do you say?
That story happened
in the time of the Shoftim. This is about 200 years before the Tamidash was built.
400 years
after the grandson. We don't know. The Kong of the Tanakh is dead already. I would kill them, yeah. I mean, this guy is Ibsam. The Gemara says this is this gentleman Boaz has a different name. In the Tanakh, in Sefer Shoftim, he's being called Ibsam. It's one of the judges. And here we call him Boaz. The question is, what's his real name? His real name is Ibsam, his real name is Boaz. But he's one of the judges in Sefer Shoftim. No. No, we don't know. There's no information. Uncles. There's no information. So now he's going to give me a blessing. Instead of giving food, he gives me a bucha, you know, he's giving me a blessing. It's the sheep, you know. He gives a blessing. Yishalem Hashem. God should pay you. God should pay you. How about you? You should give me something. So God should pay you. Maybe God should pay you. Why don't you help me? The mitzvah of tzedakah, the mitzvah of the poor person. Yishalem Hashem po'olech, God should pay you. V'tivat kutech l'ma me'im Hashem l'kei Yisrael, not only that, Hashem will pay you a full salary. Hashem ba'at l'chassot ha'atznavav, you came to convert. Oh, you came to convert? I think that the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think 15 times in the Torah, warns us to love the convert. A convert is the most dangerous thing to play with. After a widow and orphan. The Gemara says that if a convert says something against you, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. Hashem, or Eved Giri, says every day in the Tfilah, in Hallelujah, we say, God loves converts. Yeah, but He loves converts, converts. Bapta Metal Gira is one of the mitzvot that said it we have, to love a convert. To love a convert. The Torah keeps telling us a lot of times, love the convert, love the convert, love the convert. Help the convert, give the convert, don't exclude the convert from the society, be nice to the convert. So he says, okay, God bless you. God will pay you that you came to be under His wings. Now how about you? What do you do? What do you do for her? Says, go back in behind those workers and get them some dry water. It's amazing, she doesn't say anything. She was very humble, she's very nice. It's very unusual. But just for the sake of her mother-in-law, an old lady, you know, used to be the first lady, now she's the poorest one. And now you know already the girl is the ex-daughter-in-law of your cousin. So you tell her to come to my house. Come to my house, I want to take care of you. Come and tell your mother-in-law, you know, why don't she give me a call, you know, may I give you a job. And this time, nothing. Doesn't talk about his cousin. And he says, God should pay you. What is God should pay? And I think I told you. Somebody came to visit his future father-in-law. I told you this. His future father-in-law. Comes for a shidduch. He goes to the house. So the future father-in-law asks him, says, what are you going to do? You know that? I told you this. Yeah. What are you going to do? Hashem Yazor. Hashem Yazor, yeah. Hashem, I'm not Hashem, he said, you know. This boy is not Hashem, you know. God should help, only God should help, you should help. But after Metagia, it's the biggest mitzvah. This is dangerous stuff. I know things in, you know, in my experience is involved with people, with congregations. That people had, did not give respect to converts, that they suffered a lot. You see, extra nice to a convert, extra nice. So Hashem Yazor, God should pay you, and God should pay you in full payment. God should pay you completely. You comforted me. Very nice. You extra nice to me. You really touched my heart. I should not have been even one of your maids. You're very nice to me. Well, so nice to me. Yom Elav Boaz et Ochel didn't stay down and ate. Of course he had no lunch. His generosity is by over, it tells at the time that lunchtime, Pshiha long, come over here, v'achat mit alechem. You can have this bread, v'tamat pitach v'chomet, you can dip your bread in the vinegar, v'atesh mitad ha-kotim, v'etvot l'akali, and she sits on the side of the workers and he gives the handlers a piece of wheat. It's roasted.
Why did they use vinegar instead of salt?
Yeah, it says vinegar when you're in the sun, when it's hot outside, vinegar crushes your thirst. Vinegar, I don't know if it's in English, but in Spanish, vinegar means Coca-Cola. Today, when you're thirsty, you crush your thirst with Coca-Cola. And then you want to have more Coca-Cola. In those days, when somebody was thirsty and he was out in the field, he used to have vinegar. So he tells that that's best for lunch. A lunch is piece of bread with vinegar. I said, that's what you give the lady? I'm sure he didn't have bread with vinegar. The rich person, one of the richest person in Israel at the time, was. According to the Gemara, again, he was the judge. The judge was like the chief rabbi. This guy was the chief rabbi of Israel. Not only that, he is in the list. In the list of the Rambam, the Torah that we have today was transferred from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yehoshua, from Yehoshua to the Zkenim, from the Zkenim to Shoftim, to the judges. So when we read Sefer Shoftim, the story is about the judges. Besides what we read, we have to understand behind it, it says that the Rambam, those are the people that transfer to us all the Torah. So everything we know today, how to read and what it really happened, everything it being was transferred through those people. So he's one of them. This guy, Boaz Ibsen, is one of them.
Was he the older
or
translator?
Yeah.
Was he the oldest of them?
He was?
The oldest? Lived longer than anybody else?
I don't know if we know everybody else. It's a mahluk at how old he was when he died.
Yeah.
Some people said he was 400. But that's no question that his son and his grandson lived over 400 years. This guy Boaz will have a son. His name is Oved. Oved lived 400 years. Yishai, David's father, also lived 400 years. David lived only 70. Compared to his father, his grandfather, and to his great grandfather, there's nothing, zero. Gemara says it's like Kirwim and David Lamut, says the Gemara every time says like Kirwim, it means did not reach the life of his father. There's no information exactly how old was his father or his grandfather when they had their children. But according to one opinion, this guy Boaz now is 400 years old. 400 years old. And he's the judge. And nothing. He stands over there, talks to her with a straight face, and tells her, you know, you want this here? He gives her a piece of bread. Go dip it. Go dip it in the vinegar.
It was probably a big issue, he didn't have a lot of money to the others.
In Englewood, you mean?
In
Englewood. Right. 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 I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Sentence 15. Batakom lelaket. Then she stands up after the whole, you know, family discussion, and he's so nice to her. So she gets up, lunch is over. So he lets her stand up, now she goes, now she's going to collect wheat. That is, you gave it to collect wheat now, after you gave her a speech, that she's a convert and everything, now she's standing up, she's going to stand behind the workers and get, maybe she'll get. No, it takes care of it, no problem. But it's that Boaz in Arab Lemur, Boaz calls the workers and says, listen, you know, don't scream at her, because some of the girls, they used to cheat, and they used just to collect whatever was on the floor. Not only were the girls, the boys also, they were very desperate. So if she goes, he tells them, if she goes and she might steal some piece of it, let her. And also, below Tachrimua, also please don't embarrass her. So why don't you take her home? Gam sholta sholam in atvatim. Also, make yourself like you forget some things over there. Drop things over there for her on purpose. By the same, says the Gemara, it's one of the halacha, it's called Shichacha. The Gemara says when you walk, and sometimes the workers used to forget to cut some pieces of wheat, then you can't come back. It's called Shichacha. It's one of the mitzvot, to leave the poor person something that you forgot. And the Gemara says, to tell you, to show you how Hashem loves or appreciates everything that you do. Here is my mistake. Somebody cuts his own field, his work, his himself, and then by mistake he forgot to cut something in the back. So you're not allowed to go back. You have to leave it for the poor people. Says the Gemara, can you imagine you make a mitzvah by just forgetting? Can you imagine if you on purpose you help the poor person? That's how important it is to help the poor person. So Boaz comes over there and he tells the workers, you know, just pretend that you forget things. Let her have some more things to carry home. I don't know how she's going to carry everything.
She's a complete convert by this point.
She's a complete convert by this. That's a very, very good question. There's no information about her conversion. No information whatsoever. If her husband, Machlon, converted her, the question is how he converted her. How? You can't convert unless there is Bedin. There's no Bedin, there's one more. It's a big question. So then now she was working with Naomi, if you remember the last chapter, and Naomi is teaching and talking to her how to convert in the mitzvot. And when did she go to mikveh? When did she accept Judaism? There's no information. No information. We don't know.
Didn't she say that she
doesn't help. It means that she accept. It doesn't mean. Conversion only you must, the Gemara says, Bedin. You have to have three rabbis. You know, it's so crucial, the Gemara says, that the rabbis have to be in mikveh, not in the room with the lady. But when she goes inside the water, to convert the rabbis from the other room, have to teach her some halachot, briefly. Besides what she learned before, and besides what they have to test her, that she knows the halachot, the main halachot, before she comes out of the water, she's still in the water, the rabbi says, okay, don't forget, you have to keep Shabbat, don't forget, you have to keep kosher food, don't forget, you have to keep Yom Kippur, and say, okay, you can come out. The rabbis, of course, are not in the same room. But in the other room, they have to be in the other room, and then she comes out, and she dresses up, and she dresses, of course, there's a lady over there that sees, that makes sure that she's been inside. But she comes outside and says, now you're a Jew. Now you get a certificate, you're a convert.
At the
Bedin. You can't do it without Bedin. You can't convert without three rabbis. You can't convert without three rabbis. And you can't convert without going to the mikveh. Never. Conversion must, for a girl, must have a mikveh and must have a rabbi. For a man needs a bit of milah. Besides, there also has to be a sacrifice. The Gemara says when Mashiach will come, all those converts, the converted, will have to come to the Tamidash and bring the sacrifices. Whoever converted, since the Tamidash was destroyed, owes a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so Chachamim said that the convert, that the convert should put away a bird or something to show his conversion, that he wants to convert, and conversion must be accompanied with a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
What is it called?
Korban Ger.
Korban Ger?
Yeah. It's either an animal or a bird. Yeah. Chachamim said, Mashiach will come, every convert, whoever comes from him, whoever converts it, then he's going to have to bring a sacrifice.
Why can they now?
The full convert today because it's no Metamigdash. By the time of Metamigdash, for example, this time, when they converted, the Mishkan was there. When the Mishkan was there, then you have to go to the Mishkan and bring the sacrifice. Otherwise, you're not a convert. I mean, you're a convert, semi-convert, but you have to go to Mikveh, you have to have Bedin, otherwise no conversion. If somebody, let's say this guy from Iran wants to convert, what's his name?
Amajan,
yeah. Let's say he wants to convert in Iran. So he needs to have three rabbis, he needs to go to mikveh, and he has to make sure that there's milah, otherwise no conversion.
Three rabbis.
Must be three rabbis.
But he has to go to the three times, they come only at two times.
The what?
He has to give three times, they come
no,
only
at two times. No, to give once, not three.
No, but he carries only for himself.
No, he should go in one time, he shouldn't come out.
That's much before.
That's the question. The question is what the approach of the person. The Gemara says the first time that the person comes to convert, they tell him, listen, what you need it for, don't you see? Everybody is after the Jews.
Discouraging,
the Gemara says. But then if the convert says, listen, I like it, I love it, then you should not try to encourage on him.
The secret behind it.
Chachamim said that sometimes you see chas shalom, you know, the Jew all of a sudden, he wants to leave Judaism. And you see in the same time that there are non-Jews that want to convert. And says, what is behind it? I said, behind it is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to the nations, so the nation said, almost all of them said, we don't want it. But there were some private citizens that they did want to get the Torah. From the other nations. Eventually, those people are the ones who are going to convert. In the Jewish nation, there were some people in the heart that did not want to accept the Torah. Those people, generations later, been expelled from Judaism. How is it?
If the convert has to give something to the Beit HaMikdash.
Sacrifice, to
make his conversion right.
Right.
And sacrifice. We don't have Beit HaMikdash.
Doesn't matter.
We have the synagogue around the world, which instead of taking the sacrifice.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
So why right. The convert cannot do something similar?
Well, Hashem did not say that. It's not as big as Beit HaMikdash. You see, the Gemara says, really, this is Chag HaShavuot. Also, the Gemara says that Am Yisrael, when they got the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu asked us to do certain things. One of them was each one should have gone to the mikveh. And then the Moshe Rabbeinu sacrificed on the fifth day, the day before Shavuot, 2 days before Shavuot, Mahloket, Moshe Rabbeinu sacrificed. And the Gemara says that like a conversion, the Am Yisrael got the Torah is like we converted. This is more than the lecture on Wednesday. But this is what conversion is all about, that he should accept first the Torah. If he doesn't accept the Torah, then it's what it means, no conversion. And after he accepts everything, then if it's a lady, he has to go to the mikveh, and then she brings the sacrifice. And if it's a man, has to do with milah. And then mikveh, and then the sacrifice.
Why don't we ask them at least, you know, to give charity, you know?
There's too much money, you know what's going on. Nobody needs their money. We supply money to them. They don't supply money to us.
Yes. All necessary some more money for the PA.
To who?
To the PLO. As a gesture, before he went to Washington, he said the same thing that we give her.
Rabbi, just to know the laws, who tells them?
The rabbi, yeah, sure. That's going on today also.
All the laws?
I wouldn't say all the laws, but the most important laws, they have to read books, they have to study books, and they have a test. Well, I don't know if you're familiar. But the government in Israel decided to convert a lot of people. I don't know what's the reason exactly. And they went against the rabbis and they appointed a guy, and he should be a rabbi, and like semi-rabbi, and should convert the people. So it's all over the newspapers in America, in Israel. So the guy converted people in Poland, Chicks,
yeah.
Without even going to Poland. And they came to Israel, they asked, what are you? He said, I'm a Jew. So then in the passport, in the certificate, they're going to write a Jew. He says, how are you a Jew? He says, I was converted. How did you convert? But this rabbi says, you saw this rabbi? No, he sent me a letter to Poland. Mm-hmm. It's all over the newspapers now. It's no conversion. I mean, it's a very nice girl. But conversion must be, first you have to know the laws. And then she has to be converted by Bedin only, and she has to go to Mikveh, otherwise no conversion. So there's no information, when did she convert, we don't know, there's no information. Not in the Zohar, not in the Gemara, not in the Mishnah, nobody knows. When really happened the conversion, but soon, immediately she's going to get married to Mr. Boaz, so of course she converted. But there is no information from the time she arrived, how long did it take till she got married, when was really the conversion, if she did not convert according to those opinions that she did not convert in Moab. And there's those people that said she converted in Moab, everybody asked, who converted in Moab? Which mikveh did she go over there? Was there any mikveh in Moab? Nobody lived in Moab. Maybe she went to Man of the Springs. Well, who are the rabbis who converted them? Who are the rabbis who converted them? No, you can't.
He's 400.
He's 400, she's 40.
She's 40?
Yeah, big deal, zero. Big deal, zero, right?
Like number one?
Yeah.
You can't even say he's old enough to be a grandfather. He's old enough to be a great, great, great.
In the meantime, he gives them only advices, and he tells her, go around, and you go, and Hashem should help you. The sentence 16, also make believe that you forget things in the back. Just make sure that she shall take, but don't scream at her. Be nice to her. Two girls collecting the daughter of the king of Moab, collecting wheat in the field. She puts it together, but here she has a little bit of barley, but it's not even wheat, it's barley. But she came back home, but her ex-mother-in-law sees what she collected, also she gave her a little bit from the lunch, what he handled her. This is the roasted wheat. But where did you get this wheat from? Who did you help over there? The one that helped you very much, God should bless him. She said that the Gemara said the poor person does more to the rich person what the rich person thinks that he does for him. So the Gemara, that's what Naomi tells, this is what Ruth tells Naomi, that I did to him. Says the Gemara, you did to him, he did to you. Says the Gemara, no, a poor person comes to you, you have to know that he does you a favor when he comes to collect tzedakah from you. Only if he's for real, you know, not if he's a phony. You catch him, right?
Yes.
Machnatatochin is for everybody. But tzedakah is not. Somebody comes to your house and he wants to have a drink, you give anyone a drink. Unless he wants to go into your safe. But if he asks you for a charity, then if he doesn't deserve a charity and you give it to him, you wasted your money. He didn't do any mitzvah. His name of the person that I did with him, his name is Boaz. Naomi tells her daughter-in-law, Baruch Hu Hashem, bless him. Hashem Azav Chazdo Et HaChayim Et HaMitim. She says, thank God, you see this guy is so good. Baruch Hashem was so kind to you. But Naomi, Karov Lanu Ayish Migualenu, this man is our relative. Very nice, excellent person. But Naomi, she said, yeah, you're right, he's very nice. Chafetz Chaim is proud of them. You know, no lashon hara, no criticism. Bless the guy that deserves no blessings. She would tell her, listen, she's so good. Gam ki amar elayim anayim ha'shonetit bakin. Also, he told me, you stay over there with the boys. Adim ki lo et ha'katir asher li, until we finish to harvest the whole thing. Stay over here, you come over here every day. You can come and collect. Naomi told her, very nice, Tova is pretty, it's in the top, go with the girls, but very good, stay over there. We're going to say, it's good, because in another field, who knows what they can do to you. In this field, it's very good, I think it's a good idea, you should go there every day. You know what, you call your cousin on the telephone, shame on you. It's your first cousin, he knows who you are, and he says, come over here tomorrow, you know, like this joke, you know, with Purim, remember?
Yes.
You have to keep this school person for next year.
Leave him.
Then make sure you come again tomorrow. Maybe it's going to be your cousin. The cousin comes to you and says, make sure to come tomorrow, I give you another nickel. ותדבק בין הערות בועז ללקט. That's what she did. She decided to go there every day. At work, Tira Tzurim is Tira Chitim. Now, it wasn't one day or two days. It's no information. But for sure, till after Chag HaShavuot. So it's for sure like 50 days from the beginning of Sirat HaOmer, she arrived at the beginning of Sirat HaOmer, that's what says in chapter 1, and until they finish harvest the wheat, around Chag HaShavuot, 50 days, every day, she goes to the field, she comes home with some wheat. But this is Hamotah, she stays with her mother-in-law, and this is the generous judge, Mr. Istam, But it said two versions. One version I said last year, no? I don't know if I said it last year.
We all know it until you say it.
No, you should know from the question.
I'm not that good.
No. Yeah, but enough. I read it as two versions. What's really what's going on here? The Torah tells us, לא תדרוש שלומם בטובתם כל ימיך לעולם. The Torah says, a person that comes from Moab, from that nation, you can't even say hello to him. Don't do him no favors. It's a machloket, even after conversion. He wants to convert, fine.
He says a man or a woman?
Man or woman, doesn't matter.
That's the ish?
No. Says Moabi, but the Gemara will say not Moabiyah, but it's not that part doesn't say. It means you're allowed to get married into them, but the Torah doesn't say that the lady is different. There's a book, it's called Michat Chinuch, there's a book, it says, it's man and a lady, you're not allowed to be nice to them. That nation are the nation that pulled them Israel to do a sin in the Shittim in Parashat Balak. And since then, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that nation is rude nation. Rude nation can be nice to them. Now, they're allowed to convert, but they're never allowed to mix with Am Yisrael. Men. Ladies are different. Yeah? But a man that wants to convert, a man from that nation that wants to convert, he may convert, but he's going to have to marry a convert. He cannot marry into Am Yisrael. A lady, we don't know it yet, soon we'll find out, a lady is allowed to marry a Jew, still Chachamim say, I don't know about her husband, the question, but you don't be so nice to her. What the Torah says, be nice to a convert, is a regular convert. Two nations are excluded. Ammon and Moab excluded. The Torah says, לא תדרוש שלומם וטובתם כל ימיך לעולם. Never, ever. זה תורה פרשת כי תצא את הדברים. Don't be nice to them. Don't be nice to them. זה גמר עשה. לא,
זה
אמר. מה זה עשה זה? In the Midrash says, in Rabbaz Bat Conversion. The Midrash says that Hashem does not want us to convert anybody from Amalek. But in the Torah, it doesn't say that. In the Torah, it says you may not convert any people from the nations that you're going to capture. Also, it's not so simple. But about taking people into conversion, it doesn't say in the Torah, you're not allowed to convert. The Midrash says that you cannot convert Amalek. But the Midrash doesn't say you cannot convert Moab. Moab you're allowed to convert. But Moab you're not allowed to say hello to him if you can be nice to him. To Amalek it doesn't say that. Why? Because the Gemara says Moab brought the girls and Ammon and convinced Amitah to do sins with him in Parashat Barak. That Hashem hates the most. And that's that nation. So the Gemara, that Hashem hates the most, Ba'olam Hazeh, Ba'olam Haba. And unless they're converting, he says you should stay away from them. And but if they want to convert, let them convert. But they cannot intermarry to Am Yisrael, the man. The ladies are allowed to intermarry to Am Yisrael. But again, as far as saying be nice to them, you don't have to be nice to them. Where does it say? It's a book, it's called Michat Chinuch, isn't it? But this is halacha in Shulchan Aruch. This is halacha in the Rambam. Today we don't know who the Moab and Ammon. Otherwise we will have the same mitzvah. I'm sorry?
It's Jordan.
It's Jordan, but it's not the people live in Jordan. The Gemara says, Sancheriv. Sancheriv, that he was, let's say, the original Saddam Hussein. He comes from Iraq. He was so strong, and he went and he just took people from all over the world and changed the state. And so we don't know today who is called Egyptian, who is called Ammon, who is called Moab, who is Amalek, we don't know. Hassan Sirid ruined the whole society. Because he wanted to rule the whole world. And he was afraid if they're going to live in the same place, they're going to rebel. How are you going to make sure they're not going to rebel? He took nations upon nations and changed their position. He put the Egyptians in Africa, in Australia, different from Australia, brought back to office.
The
Google
lost for
them?
Do we blame more?
So Arif says in one version that this really what Boaz is behaving. He's not allowed to be nice to her. With all the respect, he's not nice to her because she's a convert that comes from a nation that Hashem warns us in the Torah not to be friendly with her. Even after conversion, according to some Chachamim. But this will not answer about Nomi. Nomi is his first cousin. So what do you want for the poor lady? It used to be the first lady, used to be the richest lady in Israel, and all of a sudden now she's so poor, she stays home, she's waiting for her ex-daughter-in-law to go and collect some barley, wheat, to give her to eat. He says, why don't you give her something to your cousin? It's your cousin, it's also your aunt, because she got married to your uncle, to Elimelech. I says, what about this? You have to give her something. If you pay attention, she's poor. Nothing. He doesn't even pay attention to her. He doesn't talk to her. Doesn't go, say hello to her. Says, what's it's your cousin. She came back from Moab, why don't you go say hello to her? The Midrash says, the Midrash comes and says like this, says that he like this. It says, if you remember, last week Rashi says that Elimelech was the richest guy, but still he had some stinginess in the system. And since it was a famine, there were too many poor people, he decided to pack up. He's leaving Israel, says there's too many mishulachim coming knocking on his door. The Gemara says he was able to support all of Israel. He left. Two things the Gemara says. Two things. First of all, the Gemara says, you're too stingy. And you should be more kind. Secondly, says the Midrash, what he did, says Ari, Am Israel, when they saw that he left, everybody got depressed. He says, look, his God was the richest God. And he was like the one that we trusted so much. And he disappeared with all the money. He took it, packed up. He sent all the money with trailers. So I read it to Syria or something, no? He sent all the money away. And here they left without any money. So all besides, there was a famine that everybody so upset. It says, now the person that we hope that he knows that he can help us. I says, how bad it is, says the Midrash, how bad it is. It says that David HaMelech, after he killed Goliath, he came back from the war. So on the street, he was walking on the street, so people threw on him pieces of gold and metal that he collected everything, collected. I don't know how he collected, who helped him to collect. It's an enormous amount of gold and silver and jewels that everybody threw on him. He said, let me say it. And then he became the king. He became the king, he had storage houses full of gold and silver and diamond. He was the richest one.
What was the famine?
There was the famine.
Yes.
There was the famine. Was a famine for 3 years in Israel. There was no food. So the Bible said, this is for Beit HaMikdash. I'm not giving it to you. People die from hunger. And he keeps it, he keeps all the money inside. The Midrash says in one version that this is why Hashem did not want David to be Beit HaMikdash. It is you, Samuel, than this. and says, how dare you that Am Yisrael is in the famine and you won't forbid me with Hamidash. What do you call it? A shul in Englewood.
Same thing.
They're
doing the same thing.
History repeats itself. Repeats itself. He said, Hashem told David, since you have no mercy, I don't need your money, I don't need your Beit HaMikdash. You stand with Beit HaMikdash. And whatever he said to David, that Hashem said, it was just a side story. The truth is because David HaMelech, he was so rich, he said, how did you ignore your nation? Zahir, the Medrash says over here about Elimelech, the same thing. The fact that you are stingy, that you don't want to help. But how could you have done such a thing to leave your nation with all the money, and they trusted you, they had hoped for you, you're a rich person, and you know, you think the money, the Medrash says, you think the money was given to you because of you, the money was given to you to help, now you don't want to help. Says the Medrash, so, what do you want from the two children? Says the Midrash, they're going to die and Lomi is going to suffer. A poor person is considered dead. Says the Gemara, Arba Chashavim Metim. The Gemara says, four people considered dead. Somebody has no money is considered dead. They learn in Torah, no? Remember that?
Yaakov.
Where?
Yaakov already passed through his money.
Right. But what does it say in the Torah? It's the Midrash. What does it say in the Torah? The Torah says clearly that the poor person is dead.
Ki?
Who has Moshe then, I guess, no?
Ki metu kol ha'anashim v'mashim et nafshecha. And Moshe was away in Midian. I says, why was the Datan v'Aviram used to fight Moshe all the time? Right. So Hashem tells Moshe, you can go back to Egypt. Those people are dead. Says the Gemara, what dead? They're alive. No, they were in the stock market, they bought gold and the gold dropped down and they lost all the money. Got 600 from 700, they lost all the money. And you know, they had this thing, you know.
Egyptian.
In 1 minute they lost all the money.
Egyptian gold.
The best gold was Egyptian. So the Medrash says, that you know me, and the two children, you will suffer because you did not protest. When Elimelech packed up and Moshe Mover came to pick up all the furniture and all the gold, you, Miss Naomi, she said, I'm not leaving. And the children should protest too. I says, why did you keep quiet, says the Midrash, when he packed up? You must have the same sickness again. What about if the father shoots people in the church in Louisiana? What do you mean? The Gemara says that because of him, Elimelech, the whole nation dropped down. They all went into desperation. They all went into depression because he left. It's not your money. It's the money Hashem gave you, and the lady, the wife. That's what he had a wife. The wife says, "Binah Yisrael is not by Ishar. Your wife is smarter than you. You better listen to your wife." Your wife tells you, says the Midrash. The Midrash says here on the spot. The Midrash says, Hashem was upset at Naomi and the two children. You should have said to him, don't leave. You're not allowed to leave. Big deal, Mishulachim. That's what Hashem gave you money. Where are you running away? So the two children will die because of that. And then Naomi, she's going to be a poor person. And she comes back and says, look at me, this is what happened. I'm dead. Dead. Boaz knows the story, says Ari, the one said anything, doesn't say hello to her, says, that's your punishment. He says, no, Boaz doesn't talk to her, there's no information, he says, hello to her, nothing. You had ex-daughter-in-law, you have to suffer also. You suffer because you got married to her son, and Ari says, his neshama is in her stomach. We'll talk about it next week with Rav Hashem. And the neshama of Machlon is inside this root, and you are in the same position. You have to suffer because this is your punishment that your husband, your ex-husband, and your ex-mother-in-law did not protest against your father-in-law. And if you listen, you come over here, you be with this, you are a poor person. A poor person, this is so-called the best choice that you have to stay alive. This is why Naomi is still alive. Otherwise she would be dead also. Hashem had mercy on her, now she's back. That's what the Megillah says. Poor, poor, poor. That's what Megillah said. He behaves like this. 100% right. He says she is not allowed to be rich. She cannot be rich. She'll be rich. She won't have that forgiveness. Why she did not?
So why does? Where do we get learn that you die if you don't give
tzedakah? The Gemara says. No, the Gemara says if you don't give, the poor people scream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem punishes.